One. Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is Monday, December 23rd. So for those of you that celebrate Christmas, happy 2 days before Christmas. For those of you that celebrate Hanukkah, also happy 2 days before Hanukkah. For those of you that
That's a
celebrate
mistake.
other holidays that I'm not certain when they start, happy however many days your holiday starts. But I'm Chad Sherwood. Got John Tytel and David Griggs with me tonight, and this is our Hoops HD report. Griggs, am I correct?
Yes, it is the Hoops HD report. For those of us that celebrate Yule, I dragged a big log into this party and set it on fire, and now I'm under arrest again.
Okay, whatever that
Well, that's
means.
how they used to do it, like the Nordic Yule.
What the heck are we doing this show? I have no idea. Let's get right to some standings and some games and talk about what's going on in the world of college basketball. How about that?
It was a busy week, Chad. We got a lot to get to.
All right. Well, right now we got the Diamond Head going on,
Yes.
and then it's going to be continuing on Christmas Day, Griggs, and that's the only basketball on Christmas Day, correct?
The only basketball that we care about.
Here we go. I got the screen share
Apparently, the
going now.
NBA schedules games on Christmas Day, but okay.
Well, I figure we start tonight in the Big Ten Conference because we seem to start every week in the SEC, and we want to change things up a little bit here. And maybe one of the reasons to start in the Big Ten also is because Griggs, Big Ten actually got a win over the SEC this past week in a very good bragging rights game, the Illinois-Missouri game. And it's
Yeah.
very rare for the SEC to lose games so far this season, so that's maybe even more notable.
Yeah, that was a fun. I mean, this is a game that always lives up. I know that like Kansas, the Border War is probably the more intense rivalry, but this is, it just seems like these two, it's the split crowd. It's a great atmosphere. It's an NCAA tournament type of atmosphere always. And again, the game was great. It was close all throughout. There were several lead changes. Missouri was down 10 and then came back. And it seems like within a matter of a minute and 10 seconds, got the lead. And then it seesawed back and forth. They had a chance to tie it at the end. But Illinois getting the big win. The bragging rights trophy is about five times the size of the NCAA trophy. I keep forgetting that until you see it presented every year. But Illinois wins it again. But yeah, a good win for them. Not the only win that the SEC had, or that the Big Ten had over the SEC.
Tytel, I know you want to speak about another team, but real quickly, Ohio State, very impressive over a Kentucky team that looked really good until Saturday.
Couldn't agree more, and they were doing it with the Buckeyes were missing Meechie Johnson, and they were missing most of their fan support as the Buckeyes were playing a football game you might have heard about that same night. But yes, very impressive. Blew Kentucky out of the Garden, won by 20 points, and they weren't perfect. Like Ohio State only shot 4-15 from 3-point land, but hit the boards very well and got several steals and didn't turn the ball over too much. So I think it's a formula that they can work on going forward. But the bigger question is, what is going on with Kentucky? Is this just a blip on the radar, or is it a symptom of something bigger that they really need, like Kerr Creasa, to keep missing threes and get healthy or something?
I intend to think that it's more of an anomaly. Especially Kentucky didn't play badly in the first half, and it was one of those games watching there where you just kind of kept waiting for Kentucky to get control of it, and then you kept waiting for them to come back, and then you realized they're not coming back. Ohio State sort of built their way up to the 20-point win. I was more impressed with Ohio State than I was disappointed in Kentucky, but I do see what John's saying. Like, it was sort of surprising to see the Wildcats play that well, have those types of level wins, and then not that Ohio State isn't good, but it was far from the toughest game that they've played. And again, a big day for Ohio State. If you saw later that night, a lot of Tennessee fans buying up the tickets in Columbus, that's because a lot of Buckeye fans opted to go to the basketball game instead.
Quick note here. The
Others
WAB column on the screen here tonight is clearly malfunctioning. So we apologize for that. Budget teams at a zero. Not certain what
not.
happened there. But anyhow, so just ignore that for tonight. We'll talk some WAB next week, I guess maybe. But What a
Strength of
team. I
schedule also malfunctioning.
strength of schedule also out of control. Wow, we have a
Do we
definitely
need
have
to
some.
pause here for a second?
Let's see if see if we'll see what we could do here for a second.
Yeah. But anyway, while he's working on that.
All right, we had a slight pause there.
Yeah.
Technical
Well, it took us
difficulties.
about, it actually took 3.5 hours in real time. Which,
But
but I
amazingly,
think
we have WOB and strength of schedule on the screen now. So,
yeah.
where were we? Tytel, I was going to talk to you too about a team that you, I think everybody, the preseason podcast, when I said that I thought this team was an NCAA tournament team, laughed at me. But the Maryland Terrapins just keep winning games.
And Chad gets the last lap. As you see by the predictive metrics, they are top 15 in everything. So the odds certainly favor you. I still don't believe it. I mean, what kind of season is this? Like, the past several years has been the DMV with DC's team of Georgetown terrible, the M Maryland's team terrible, and the V Virginia's team great. And it's like flipped 180 degrees ever since Tony Bennett retired. But the Terps are doing great. Kevin Willard had a losing record last year. He's 10-2 after a 27-point neutral site win over Syracuse last weekend. It wasn't even that close. They were up by 38 after the first 32 minutes. And their only losses are by 4 to Marquette and by 5 at Purdue. So the resume looks very good, very nice. They got a home cupcake this Saturday, and then they head across the country for that big conference battle against the Huskies and the Ducks. They've been dominating on both ends of the court. 88 points a game for them, 61 points a game allowed, both top 15 in the nation. Very nice scoring balance. Five guys averaging 12 to 17 a game. And while I must admit, Dylan Harper has the Conference Rookie of the Year award wrapped up before Christmas and Hanukkah and all the other holidays. His fellow McDonald's All-American, the game co-MVP, in fact, Derek Queen, not far behind. 17 points, 8 boards, a steal, a block a game, shooting 60% from the field.
Wow. Griggs, I want to hit one other team here in this conference, unless you have anything else. But if you look at the top 25 rankings, the highest rated team is the Oregon Ducks. And they've
Yeah.
almost doing it quietly. Came up on Saturday with that big ACC Big Ten challenge win over
Challenge.
Stanford.
Yeah, and they beat them badly too. And if you look at Oregon, if you pull them up here, they do have that loss to, I want to say it was UCLA that got them. But
Let me just get that up here. There you go. UCLA, yes.
a very, very impressive profile. The neutral floor win against Alabama. Alabama most likely a protected seed. They won at Oregon State, which at the time we didn't. It probably was a much better win than what we realized at the time. I think Oregon State might be a tournament team, and then they've got Texas A&M and an improving San Diego State team. All four of those away from home. Granted, only won a true road game, but that's an impressive resume, and the only loss to a very, very good UCLA team. So. Yeah, I mean, how is it hard to not be excited about the Ducks? You wonder why it's been so quiet. I think that part of it is just where they play. It's on, they're tipping off typically 10 or 11 p.m. in the East, and not a lot of people are watching. But the ones that are watching know that this is a really good team. Wins against the board is second. Overall average is 10. I mean, that's pretty. That's an their metrics are unbelievable.
Here's the upcoming schedule in the conference as we conclude like the last, I guess, a little less small batch of games before we get to conference play. I don't honestly know that there's really any games I've circled
Well,
other than Saturday's game,
yeah,
UCLA
UCLA
Gonzaga.
Gonzaga, yeah, UCLA, the one team that did beat Oregon, another really good team. I mean, they're coming off a bit of a surprising loss, not overly surprising, but a game that you really thought that they would win. And Gonzaga, while good, isn't quite as dominant, at least not so far as that a lot of us thought that they would be. So that's a really, really good game.
Let's well, you mentioned that UCLA loss. Why don't we jump right over to that game a little bit here? And Tytel, before we get to a couple other teams, that North Carolina win over UCLA, do you think North Carolina is about to get themselves straightened out with that win?
You have to think so. I was very impressed by the Bruins when they kicked my Wildcat butt a couple weeks ago, but they came out and they were up big. Bruins were up by 16 midway through the second half, and Hubert Davis and company just did not quit. They got 24 huge points from freshman Ian Jackson off the bench. They won despite UCLA knocking down 9 of 18 threes. UCLA was terrible at the free throw line, 13 of 22, really bit them in the butt. I think the Tar Heels are for real. They've had a very tough schedule, and I think that this could be the springboard they need.
Right. And, Griggs, I think we've got to go back all the way to last Tuesday night, but Clemson, really surprising with that loss to South Carolina. I know they bounced back and beat Wake Forest, but we were just singing the praises of this Clemson team before that game, and I don't know if we really should be anymore.
Well, yeah, and if you pull them up here, and I know South Carolina, it was on the road. South Carolina, at least a decent team, and it is a rather big rivalry. Clemson has not been the best road team. Like, they do have the win at Miami, but Miami at this point, I think, is just dead set on embarrassing me for picking them as a sleeper team in the preseason. I think that that's really their only objective moving forward. It's a good profile, but you can't say that that Clemson is nothing but a home court hero. They did beat San Francisco. They did beat Penn State. You know, they did win at Miami. And it's not like they got blown out by South Carolina. But it's fair to say that this is a team that's much better at home than they are on the road.
Tytel, as a committee guessing expert, do you give any credit to Clemson winning at Miami when teams like Mount St. Mary's and Charleston Southern have also won at Miami this year?
No, that's a fair point. But again, I think the Puppet's best point was that if you look at their three losses, they're two in overtime to tier two teams, and one at Boise was a tier one team, despite being not in a power conference. So the good news, ACC does not present a ton of winnable games, but as you see, they play several top 25 teams, Duke and Pitt. Well, I guess they play two top 25 teams, so they'll have a couple chances for some tier one wins.
And Carolina, I would not be surprised if they become 25 by the time they play also. Yeah. But you mentioned Pitt, Tytel, and I pull Pitt here up on the left. This is a team that I think is still playing really good basketball as we head into conference play.
They are. Look at me giving the segue to myself. So Coach Jeff Capel improved to 10-2 with a 32-point win over Sam Houston last weekend. And the Panthers have the rest of 2024 off before hosting Cal and Stanford next week in the new and improved ACC. They're a very nice all-around team, top 40 in KenPom in both offensive and defensive efficiency. Decent little resume, home win over West Virginia, neutral site win over LSU, road wins at the aforementioned Buckeyes and Va Tech. They've won four of their past five, despite the absence of starting guard Damian Dunn. He had right thumb surgery last month. Fortunately, his fellow starting guards, Ishmael Leggett and Jalen Lowe, they're arguably the best backcourt in the conference, combined 34 points, 11 boards, 9 assists and 4 steals a game.
Oof. Griggs, I guess the only other story in this conference is the Duke Blue Devils. They beat George Mason and Georgia Tech this week, this team is just really, really good, up to number 4 in the nation.
They are, and they blasted George Mason, and it's not surprising that they beat George Mason, but I mean, George Mason's probably an NIT maybe a bubble team, maybe, but still Duke blew them out as if it were a bye game. And it's just hard not to be impressed with Duke. And they also went on the road and beat Georgia Tech as if it were a home bye game. So it's just hard to not be impressed, as Rocco would say. Yeah, they weren't playing strong teams, but they clearly weren't leaking any oil either.
In the upcoming schedule here, you see there is not a lot of basketball here in the next 12 days. The next 7 days involving these teams.
Everybody kind of
is Syracuse going to lose at home to Bucknell? I guess that's the only question.
I mean, if there was a game to watch out of all those, it's that one. EKU at Louisville, semi interesting and is sort of an in-state matchup, but probably not a very good game.
Let's jump over to what is clearly, I think, the number one team in the nation, the number one conference of the nation. In the SEC. But Griggs, maybe we start with the team that is number one in the nation, the Tennessee Volunteers. We have to scroll all the way down to the bottom of the screen here. While it was an 82-64 win over Middle Tennessee, and that's how it's going to look in the team sheets at the end of the day, Tennessee was on the ropes most of this game.
A really good showing by Middle Tennessee. The Vols played with their food quite a bit and then finally got control at the end. But I want to say it was down. I mean, Middle Tennessee was within three, I think, with about 8 minutes to go. So, I mean, Tennessee just did kind of play around. And when you look at this conference as a whole, you just wonder, like, when are they going to step up and do something and win a couple big games?
It is almost ridiculous, Tytel, looking at this conference. Look at the win-loss column here. There's only the two losses we mentioned earlier to Big Ten teams this entire past week for this league, including some teams, Tytel, wouldn't even think were going to be good this year, like Georgia, for example.
They've been amazing. I mean, this is the best conference, and they are the biggest surprise in this conference, the Bulldogs. Coach Mike White, 11-1, with only a neutral site loss to Marquette in the Bahamas last month. They get a home cupcake next weekend and then 18 straight conference games against teams in the top 70 in the nation. Good luck. They can score inside. They're 59% from 2-point range, top 20 in the nation. They can defend outside. 28% allowed from 3-point range is top 15 in the nation. And the key has been the freshman big man, Asa Newell. He's averaging 16 points and 7 boards a game while shooting 58%. The X factor, however, is Mount St. Mary's transfer, DeShane Montgomery. He missed the first 10 games this year because he did not have enough transferable credits. But in his two games since becoming eligible, 19 points and 3 steals a game off the bench.
Unbelievable. And if you
I
go back to, oh, go ahead.
was just going to say, you call this Georgia team the biggest surprise in the conference. And Tytel, I half agree with you there, but I think when you look at the team I have on the right there, the Oklahoma Sooners, sitting here undefeated, that may even be a bigger surprise. Did we really expect this out of Oklahoma this year?
No, but did we really expect this out of Georgia? I mean, six out of
True. But,
Oklahoma's lifted a little more weight. The wins against Michigan, Arizona, Louisville, Okie State, but I mean, they're both ridiculous surprises. And again, when you go back to just the performance of the conference overall, when you look at it, the strength of record, which is strictly a merit-based metric, the entire conference is in the top 50 minus South Carolina.
Who just beat
And
Clemson, by the way.
yeah, look at who, look at how many teams are in the top five.
In strength of record, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all five of the
Yeah.
top five teams
And
in the
you can't
nation.
have more than five in the top five. I've done the math on this. I've done the math. You can't have more than five in the top five. I don't know. We've seen incredibly strong conferences before, but I don't think we've ever seen one like this that was this high in the metrics, this high in the human polls, to where every game is basically a ranked team versus a ranked team. Not every game, but a lot. And what's this going to do to the metrics? I mean, is it going to be like those years where we saw 8 out of 10 teams from the 10-team Big 12 get in, or the 10-team Big East get in? I mean, are we going to be looking at 13 teams, maybe?
Is the math there, Tytel, for 13 teams out of one conference, or do these teams just have to cannibalize themselves?
I would say check back in a couple of weeks for the bracket show, but yes, I'll try to address it. So a rising tide will lift all the boats. So like the fact that every single team you play is a top 100 team the rest of the way, it can only help you and not really hurt you. That being said, like I don't think the whole conference is going to finish like 9-9 in SEC play. So, which is to say, if Tennessee and Florida and those type of teams finish like 15-3 in conference, I don't think they will, but it's possible, then by definition, somebody's going to lose like double-digit games, if not like 15 games. And it's probably going to be South Carolina, as the puppet pointed out, their metrics are the worst. But I think that just the numbers, I don't think the math works out. I think that there's going to be several teams with double-digit losses. If there's not, they might all make it, but I don't think they're all going to make it.
And one of these teams in particular, this Auburn team, holy crap, are they good? I
I'm
know
gonna
they have
mention
a loss.
what they did to Purdue this week was amazing, Griggs. Yeah, go ahead.
It was. They have a loss. It was a close loss at Duke, who is ranked fourth. But like, it is harder to win that game than it probably is to win a game in the Final Four, because when you're playing a fourth ranked team in the Final Four, you're not playing them on their court. So, I mean, Auburn's profile, Auburn's team, I think is the most impressive. I know Tennessee, Oklahoma, I know there's other teams that are undefeated and Auburn isn't, But none of those undefeated teams have won a game that was as hard to win as the one Auburn lost. And I don't think any of them have won as many games that are as hard to win as the ones Auburn's won. Auburn is ridiculous.
Yeah, look at this. All the resume and all the predictive metrics and the net and the WOB and they are the number one team in the nation across the board on everything other than the AP and the coaches poll with her too. Yeah, and we haven't even mentioned a couple other huge wins for this conference title. Real quick, maybe Mississippi State went to Memphis and picked up a win.
Very nice win.
Florida beat North Carolina going back a week ago. So many huge wins out of this league. Oklahoma's win over Michigan.
But going back to the Florida win, the Todd Golden story is still amazing. I really thought he was getting fired like last month, and now he's 12-0 and one of the best teams in the country. It's going to be fascinating if there's more lurid details that leak out and or if he gets like charged or arrested or fired. Like, that's a huge story that has been pushed down because the wins have been overshadowing everything else, I think.
Here's the upcoming schedule, and there are some an interesting game here Saturday. Ole Miss with the trip to Memphis.
Yeah, those two teams very close in proximity. I think they're like an hour apart or something like that. So, some heat to that. Most people don't realize it, but that one's actually interesting.
And of course, Griggs, I know you're tuned to the huge in-state Florida matchup, Stetson at
Oh,
Florida.
that one's I my DVR is set.
Okay. Once again, another conference. Whether it's if we're really discussing any of these games at any length next week, it's because there was a major upset. That's not going to be good news. Let's jump over to the Big 12 conference, though. And I guess this is the conference actually bounced back this week. It had a pretty good week across the board, as long as your name is not Kansas State.
And I guess we got to start with the team that's at the top there. I had been beating up Cincinnati pretty bad a week ago. They barely beat what I thought was a fairly mediocre Xavier team at home. But they did get the win, and then they also went out and had a really nice win against a really good Dayton team. I still think that Cincinnati's got more hard games in front of them than they do that are behind them, but they've shown that they can beat good teams.
Tytel, what about Colorado?
Talk about a surprise. So, Coach Tad Boyle was 9-2 last year to start his season in the Conference of Champions. He joined a new league this year. He's still 9-2. Only a pair of neutral site losses to Sparty and the Iowa State. And the 1-point win over UConn and Maui, it's looking better every single day. They get the whole week off, and then Iowa State comes to Boulder next Monday night. For those of you who don't think size matters, I'm going to point you towards the Buffaloes roster. Starting front court is 6'8", 6'8", 6'10". The subs for those three are 6'9", 6'9", 6'9". They're enormous. And I'm going to tell you more about the best dunker on campus in my final thought.
All right. Upcoming week here, we do get into a little bit of conference play coming up a week from tonight. Cincinnati, K-State, Iowa State, Colorado, Houston, Oklahoma State, TCU, Arizona. Griggs, let me ask you real quick about one more team. Have we just kind of almost, it feels like we've almost forgotten about them this season, but Houston is just kind of really under the radar for a team that's been so good last year and nationally ranked and all that.
Right. And if you look at, I mean, they're still 15th and 12th. So that it's odd that you would say that about a power conference team that's that high in the rankings. But we sort of have forgotten about them. And up until this point, when you look at that profile, it's very ordinary. It's very bland. Houston was my pick before the season started to win it all. I'm not backing off of that yet, but the way I do my staff bracket is it's entirely merit-based, and they're not in it because they haven't done anything. Now, I still think
Hold on a
they're going
second.
to do things.
Hold on. No. They are undefeated on the r true road games, Griggs.
Oh my goodness, you are correct.
Of course, they haven't played any, but
Yeah,
that's
they
another
haven't
story.
played any, and I think they're going to do things. But yeah, you've sort of forgotten about them because when you're, what is their best win? A home win against Butler, who's not particular, not particularly an NCAA caliber team. Now they blew Butler into the sun, and when you look at the games they've lost, overtime, overtime, and a close loss to an Auburn team that we just got done praising, I think that yeah, we have forgotten about them. But as we get in the conference play, I bet we remember them again.
I think we will as well. Over in the Big East, Tytel, the UConn Huskies picked up the road win at Butler, as well as the home win in overtime over Xavier. And a little bit of a shock there, how tough Xavier played them. How about the UConn Huskies?
AKA the best eighth place team in the history of any in-season tournament ever. They have righted the ship. They lost three games in 3 days in Maui last month. They're 5-0 in December. They've beaten Baylor, Texas, Gonzaga, Xavier, and Butler. However, four of those five wins were by 6 points or less, so they're certainly not dominant like they've been the past 2 years running. They have the rest of 2024 off, and they head to DePaul on New Year's Day. Their offense remains awesome, top 25 in the nation from both one-point land and two-point land. Perimeter defense still sucks, frankly. 39% allowed behind the arc, bottom 20 in the country. McDonald's All-American Liam McNeely, he was scoreless in their loss to Dayton in Maui. In the six wins since then, he's been great. 16 points, six boards, three assists, and only one turnover a game while making 33 of 36 at the free throw line.
Griggs, Marquette sitting here at number 8 in the nation in both polls. They beat the same two teams UConn did this week. 2-point win at Xavier in a true road game also.
Xavier coming back and actually getting the lead late in that game. Somewhat controversial ending, depending on who you talk to. But even Snell, had the foul been called, it wouldn't have won Xavier the game. They would have still had to hit the free throws just to get to overtime. So anytime you can win on the road, that's something. Marquette finding a way. I still like them a lot more than anybody else in the conference. Georgetown's probably the best story.
I wanted to ask Tytel about that because I know you've been going to all the
And let's get
games.
into that. I know their strength of schedule is 3 of 6, but in the past they would have been 2-10, not 10-2. And man, are they fun.
I gotta say, you look at the standings right now. You got Marquette, who think everyone thinks is an NCAA tournament team. St. John's, who everyone thinks is an NCAA tournament team. UConn, NCAA tournament team, all undefeated at 2-0, along with one other team, the Georgetown Hoyas, Tytel. Are they also an NCAA tournament team?
I'm leaning no, but it's just so incredible. Like, you're right. Nobody thought they'd be 10-2, least of all me. And when you look at them, like, they're favored in a lot of the games remaining on their schedule, which it's not all against Seton Hall and DePaul. Like, they're favored at home against Xavier in a couple of weeks, which I didn't think was possible.
And they just blew out Creighton. They just blew them out.
I was
Yeah,
there
they
for that one,
blew them
but
out.
it was not as close as the, I mean, it was ridiculous. Ed Cooley as a strong contender for conference coach of the year, obviously. And it's just the fact that they have been so bad for so long that he's just in 1 year, he brings in some star freshmen like Thomas Sorber, Caleb Williams. He gets some star transfers like Micah Peavy. And like the pieces are fitting. They had a very weak non-conference schedule, as Cooley admits. His goal was to build confidence by having his guys win games, even if it was against lesser competition. It's working, Chad.
Yeah, I will disagree with you on one thing. You just said he's a strong contender for conference coach of the year. I think he's a strong contender for national coach of the year. If this keeps up and he puts his team in the NCAA tournament somehow, wow.
Let's talk about one more team real
Okay.
quick, and that's this Xavier team. On the surface, they're very unimpressive and unspectacular. But when you look at, they've had an interesting 9 days. They lose to Cincinnati, a ranked team on the road when they had a chance to tie the game with a three and miss and force overtime. They did force overtime at UConn, another ranked team on the road, lost the game. And then yesterday, lost to another ranked team, albeit at home, 72 to 70. Now, I mean, as maddening as all that is, you can't ignore the fact that they played three really good teams really hard and that two of them were away from home. Is this a team that's capable, when you look at Seton Hall, albeit going to Georgetown is not going to be easy, Johnny's stuff. I look at this and I'm like, they could win all the rest of their games until they go back to DePaul. Is there something here? I know it's not in the paper yet, but on the court, are they good enough to where you don't want to overlook this Xavier team?
I don't know. They've now lost Zach Fremantle for the season as well, though, Griggs. And
Yeah, but
I
they
just,
didn't have him for the last 2 years.
they didn't, and they played so well in those games, which was why those games were more surprising. I need to see wins, and they don't have wins right now. At the end of the day, it's wins and losses, and they're 8-5 without any marquee wins.
And that's fair.
Upcoming games, there's three of them. Coppin State at Georgetown. You gonna be there, Tytel?
I wish I could say I had something better to do this weekend. I will be there.
Delaware at the Johnnies and Loyola, Maryland is at DePaul. Yeah, let's move on to the let's move on to the Mountain West Conference here, where San Diego State remains in the top 25 polls after their win over Cal. But maybe Griggs, let me start with you. Utah State, an interesting week. The home loss to a very good and very underrated UC San Diego team that we're going to be discussing on our next Under the Radar podcast. And then but they bounced back yesterday with a win at St. Mary's.
The win at St. Mary's was phenomenal. St. Mary's, a very good team, especially at home. Utah State deserves a lot of credit for that, and I think the committee's going to give them a lot of credit. And they also, like, I know they lost at home to UC San Diego, but UC San Diego, I think, as good as Drake is a good story. And moving up into the polls, I think UC San Diego is actually better than Drake. So you can't, while it's entirely fair to say that that's a game Utah State should have won, it's not fair at all to punish them as if they had lost to somebody that was, 150, 250 in the metrics, because that is not who they lost to at all. But like, that was a good UC San Diego team, and this is a very good Utah State team.
It is, and there's, I guess, beyond Utah State and San Diego State, Tytel. I mean, we saw like half the Mountain West in the NCAA tournament last year for some weird reason. Is there a team like a Boise State that's still on your radar?
Far on the radar, but hanging in there. 9-3 after a pair of double-digit home wins last week. Coach Leon Rice will finish off 2024 the road trip to San Jose State in Wyoming. They definitely need to work on their three-point shooting. 30% behind the arc is frankly terrible, but good scoring balance. Five guys averaging 10 to 18 points a game. Great size. Five of their top six scorers are 6'7" or taller, including 7-footer Dylan Anderson from Gilbert, Arizona. P.S. Tommy Lloyd. Let's keep those guys in state. It's one of their smallest players I wanted to focus on, though. 6'1" San Jose State transfer Alvaro Cardenas. He had 15 points and 12 assists in their win over Air Force last Saturday. We all knew that he'd be successful, though, based on the name of his high school in the Czech Republic, the Get Better Academy.
That's one for you. We got some conference play coming up on Saturday, including a huge game
That
at the
is a
top there.
huge.
Utah State at San Diego State, the top two teams in the conference going head to head. That's probably the best game we've seen so far in the list for the upcoming week. Outside of that Gonzaga game that we'll get to in a minute. But speaking of the Zags, let's just jump right over to the West Coast Conference, Griggs, where Gonzaga, took care of business against a couple of bye games this week.
So they're kind of cruising. We already talked about St. Mary's losing to Utah State. Oregon State, who I had praised earlier, is about to lose to Oakland. Well, I shouldn't say about to lose. They're down in the semifinals at Oakland, which really is a big missed opportunity, I think, for Oregon State to win the Diamond Head and get a shot at Nebraska. It's disappointing, assuming the result holds, because I think Oregon State has shown signs of being good. 9-2, one of those losses to a very good Oregon team in a very close game. I thought that they were positioning themselves to make a run at the bubble and at the NCAA tournament. Today aside, I think they've looked pretty good when compared to a lot of teams into the conference. Same with Washington State. Just not good to go out there and lose to Oakland.
Yeah, as we record this, they're down double digits now to Oakland in the semifinals of the Diamond Head. But Tytel, he glossed over St. Mary's pretty quickly. Is there reason for concern now for the Gales after the home loss to Utah State? And they only beat Merrimack by five earlier this week.
Certainly, the bad news for Coach Randy Bennett, after starting 7-0, he's lost three of his past six. The good news, all three of the losses were by 7 points or less to top 60 teams, so they definitely have to remain on the radar for now. The Gales have the week off before beginning conference play with, frankly, an easy homestand, Pacific and Pepperdine. And if you like Lithuanians, this is your new favorite team. We got returning conference player of the year, Augustas Marcellonis, and Arizona transfer, Paulius Morauskas. They're combining for 28 points, 11 boards, and 7 assists a game as the Gales try to win Hapadinimi at Gaul, or as they say in Lithuanian, back-to-back titles.
There we go. All right.
Yeah, just a foreign language lesson tonight.
There's the upcoming games. Of course, Oregon State, as we mentioned, playing in the Diamond Head, and the huge game Saturday between Gonzaga and UCLA.
Some Bay Area fun on Monday. Santa Clara, San Francisco.
There you go. All right. San Francisco's had a little life as well this season. But let's jump over to the A-10, where Griggs, Dayton, we mentioned earlier that they did suffer the loss to Cincinnati. They had beaten UNLV before that this week, albeit only by a point. How about these Flyers, though?
I still like them. I'm inclined to think that it was a good team that just sort of had a bad night, but God, they could not get their motor started. They slept through their alarm. I think that, what did they have, 8 points in the first 12 minutes? If it wasn't that bad, it was close. And they did dial back some in that game, but you got to give credit to Cincinnati for taking them out of that. When I look at the conference, I see a lot of decent teams here. Nobody that's really good other than maybe Dayton. St. Bonaventure, 12-1, but they've done it against a rather weak schedule. Rhodey, 11-1, against one of the weakest schedules ever. What we see here are a lot of wins against teams for teams play pastry cards, other than Dayton, who's gone out, played a really tough schedule, 1-9-3. So there's nobody else in here that I like as much as them. Where do they fall nationally? I don't know. But if they go through this league 16-2, 15-3, which I definitely think they're good enough to do, I think they're going to be in the rankings and then high on the seed list and possibly still even get a protected seed.
Yeah, just a note here also, just a week ago, we were hyping this Loyola Chicago team who had just been undefeated. They're now 0-2 out of the Diamond Head and going to the seventh place game tomorrow. The wheels really seem to fall off there. Yeah. But Titel, what about VCU sitting there with a decent net, although also a lousy strength of schedule?
It's weird. Rhode Island's always been the second best Rams as far as I can remember, but it is VCU as we speak. They had to travel all the way to New Mexico before losing by 7 points in the pit. Then they flew all the way back to Richmond and beat William and Mary by 20. They get the rest of the week off and then another tough road trip. St. Bonaventure and Loyola back-to-back. Coach Ryan Odom's defense is going to keep them in every game. 61 points allowed, top 15 in the nation. Each of their top five scorers are guards. We talked about so other teams have size. This is about the guards. And the best of them all, returning first-team all-conference shooting guard Max Shulga, a.k.a. the Ukrainian sensation. 17 points, 6 boards, 4 assists, 2 steals per game. I don't know what his high school mascot was, but is there a better way to prepare for college than going to a high school called the Basketball School of Excellence, as he did?
Okay, let's take a quick look at the upcoming schedule here in the A-10. There we go. Loyola has got their 7th place game. We'll find out who they play later on tonight. Other than that,
So pretty much on brand for this conference.
Woods at St. Louis. I'm excited about that. William Woods.
St. Louis has been a massive disappointment.
One more league to hit here in the American Conference, and Griggs, interesting week for Memphis. They did get that road win at Virginia, but then kind of gave a lot back by losing the home game by 13 to Mississippi State.
Mississippi State, a good team, but Virginia can be hard to play against. Sometimes you just have to find a way to beat them, and Memphis did. So I actually wasn't that concerned about that one, even over Virginia not having the best year. But then to come home, and again, Mississippi State, a good team. I've been a severe critic of Memphis for years and years and years, and this year they're finally playing tough games away from home and winning them. If you pull up their profile, it looks very good. What can I say other than that? Like, I think that they're good enough to where they should have beaten Mississippi State. I know that that doesn't sound like a compliment, but it sort of is to where I was expecting them to win that game. And I thought the fans would be going bonkers because Memphis hasn't been this good in a while. They certainly haven't been this accomplished in a while. And when you – a team that beat Connecticut and Michigan State and won at Clemson all this year, you would think, while Mississippi State is good, that's one that they would get at home.
Yeah, and look, this, and they follows up. They've got Ole Miss as well coming up to add another one of these. And that's a great
Yeah.
strength of schedule.
The great strength of schedule.
Only blemish is that home loss to Arkansas State. And while that Arkansas State's 100 in the net, that's a very good Arkansas State
Yeah,
team
it is.
too,
It is. Yeah.
that we discussed during their Under the Radar show a lot. Tytel, if we look back at the standings here, the only other team, I guess Florida Atlantic's 89, so only two other teams at the top 100 of the net, but North Texas there at 70 in the net. Is there anything there?
Yes, only because they're going in the right direction. They dropped a pair of home games, excuse me, games right after Thanksgiving, but Coach Ross Hodges' team has bounced back three straight home wins, and the Mean Green begin conference play on New Year's Eve. They host UAB, then they head to Memphis on January 5th for a huge game, obviously. And all three of their losses are away from home by 7 points or less to top 125 teams. So again, I think they can remain on the radar for now. Dominant defense, 56.5 points per game allowed, number three in the nation. I am a little confused by his starting lineup, though. His second leading scorer is Brennan Laurent. His second best 3-point shooter is Latrell Jussel. His second best free throw shooter is Jonathan Massey. None of them start for him.
All right.
Good bench.
Quick note here, that is the only North Texas Memphis regular season game this year also. So kind of strange to get that this early in the season if these two teams end up being
Yeah.
the best in the league. I got to give one more shout out here, Griggs, before we move on. We've got to give a shout out to the Rice Owls. I mean, not
Yeah.
many teams lose home games to North Texas Dallas.
Yeah. UNT Dallas, which I don't even think existed as an institution until about 10 years ago, goes on the road and beats Rice.
Not a good sign for this league. Here's the rest of the upcoming schedule. Charlotte is playing in the Diamond Head. They get Murray State later tonight. Friends at Wichita State. Now the Ole Miss Memphis game, the only one worth watching here,
Yeah.
obviously. On that note, that's all the teams, that's all the leagues. So why don't we run our final thoughts? And Tytel, I'll start with you.
So I mentioned Colorado during our segment on the Big 12, and now you get to see my guy Travis Hunter. So he won the Heisman Trophy. He's not just the best football player in the nation, but at 6'1", he might be the best dunker in Boulder. This is before their game against Bellarmine on Saturday. He showed off his skills with this dunk. And then he had another casual between the legs slam, it was described as. I know we've seen several athletes who did basketball and football, Julius Peppers, Tony Gonzalez, another Heisman winner, and Charlie Ward, and others. But after seeing Caleb Williams, another Heisman winner, sign a $39.5 million fully guaranteed contract with the Bears last July as the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, you should enjoy this now because I don't think we're ever going to see Hunter playing in a basketball game anytime soon.
If you can make that type of money, you should not be playing in basketball games. Griggs, any other final thoughts to end out the show?
Yes. Well, like one of the things is I've never been a fan of the holidays because it's so disruptive to college basketball. There's no real games tomorrow. We've got the Diamond Head on Saturday and then no games after that. I don't know why we have to have Christmas in the first place if it's going to disrupt college basketball and not give us any games.
The buzzer is back. It's nice to be back here in my new my new location here. Same location, new stylings. But I do want to thank everybody for joining us. Wish you everybody a happy and healthy and safe holiday season. And on behalf of John Tytel, David Griggs, and everyone from Hoops HD, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again real soon.